yours might be on an electronic device like mine, or it might be leather bound, but either way, take your Bible and hold it up, and let's say this together. The words are up on the screen. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living Word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today that you will change our lives, that you will bring about the necessary change in us as a church, that you'll bring about the necessary change in each believer today. Lord, each person sitting here, whatever that change needs, whatever change it needs to happen in our lives, Lord, you make it possible. We rest in you today. Lord, we know this. We know that you have good things in store for us. So bring about the change in us so we can position ourselves to receive every good thing. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you are ready for some change? And how many would like some things to change in your life? How many would like some things to go from bad to good? Well, you know what? When we hear the word of God and we act on it, then through the help of the Holy Spirit, or with the help of the Holy Spirit, good things begin to happen. Now, we've been in this series now for a couple of weeks. God is good all the time. And today I want to continue this series with a message entitled Plenty Good. In fact, I'm going to say this a couple times through the message, and so I just want you to say it with me, because I want you to go out of here thinking about this, and that is, I want to say this: God is great, God is good, plenty good. Come on, plenty good. He's not just a little good, he's plenty good. God is great, God is good, plenty good. Now, let's go back to our text that we've been using in this series that's found in the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 100 and verse 5. It says, "For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." Now, this scripture and other scriptures in the Bible teach us about God. And they teach us of God's character. And they tell us that God is good. Good wasn't something that man defined and then God became good. No, God defined good for man. God is the very essence of good. And because the Bible teaches us that God is good, then we also know that God always does good. The Bible teaches us that he is good to everyone. And then it makes it personal. God is good to me. Come on. God is good to me. Now, does that mean that bad things don't happen? I don't even have to answer that for you. But it does mean that even when something bad happens, God knows how to work good, even out of difficult situations, because God is good. God is great. God is good. Plenty good. Come on, preach with me this morning. Now, let's talk about God being plenty good. I want to go to Psalm 31 and verse 19. Psalm 31, verse 19, David says here, "How great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world." The psalmist here exclaims, how great is God's goodness? And in his exclamation, what he's trying to portray is that you can't measure God's goodness. How great is God's goodness? And the Bible speaks not only about the quantity of God's goodness, but the quality of God's goodness. But first, the quantity. In fact, what this psalmist says here is that your goodness is so great, there's so much of it that you had to get storage. He said, you stored up your goodness for me. God had so much goodness that he had to get storage space. Now, unless you think God has a problem with space, do you know that just in the Milky Way galaxy alone, as much as man can. And thank God for scientists that can figure some of this out and at least give us some kind of understanding. But they say just in the Milky Way alone, there are 100,000,000 stars. Now, I don't know that number. They say it's in the billions. That many stars, just in the Milky Way galaxy. And then they say there are millions of galaxies. God's got space. Now, if Americans, and we Americans are kind of famous for this, I don't know any other nation that you can go to where they have so many storage bins. They're popping up everywhere. I mean, we live out in the Wesley Chapel area, and that area's just been growing. So what's coming now? A new storage bin place. Because people live there long enough now to store up, or people moving in and don't have a room for their stuff. Now, if Americans can be so blessed that they need storage space, then don't you think God can have enough goodness that he would need some storage space? He's got plenty of goodness. And he's got it stored up for you. It's there when you need it. He's not going to run out. That's why you never catch God by surprise. He already stored up the good things that he has for you. I thought it might be good today if we could just look at a picture of man's storage space. And then we really obviously can't really depict or can't get a perfect picture, but I can kind of give you a little picture of what I think would give you a glimpse of God's storage space, okay? You want to put up the bins there. Here's what man can do. Typical, you know, a little storage unit, but here's God's. Come on. Where do you think the iCloud came from? Who you think gave those people the idea for an iCloud to store things? You see, God had to store goodness up throughout the generations. And so he's got it stored up, but it's stored up for you. And you know what? I just think we need to know how to pick the lock. So this morning I want to teach you not only what good God has stored up for you, but I want to teach you how to pick the lock. Get out what belongs to you. The goodness of God can be manifested in your family, in you, and your church. Don't forget your church while you're in there. Look at, see if anything says faith life on it. Pick it up and bring it out with you. Come on, God is good. Now, but how about the quality of God's goodness? Let's look at that word goodness there in that passage. Now, of course, this is a Hebrew word because we're in the Old Testament. And in fact, if you were here last week, one of the passages that we used last week that had the word goodness in it, it's the same word. So many of you may remember this definition from last week, but if you put up the definition of the word goodness, Spyros Zodiotis is one of my favorite Greek and Hebrew scholars. He says this word goodness, it's goodness in the broadest sense. It ranges from practical, economic, or material good to abstract good. Yeah. You know what this word is saying here? God's got you covered. Yeah. Whatever you need, if it's something internal, if it's a freedom on the inside of you from anxiety, or if it's something out here, he'll give you property. I mean, whatever you need, God's goodness is stored up for you. Yeah. Also, another definition, same word, but just puts it in a little different way. This is Thayer's Greek Dictionary, if you can go to that one. It's the same word, goodness, goods, good things, goodness, property, fairness, beauty, joy, prosperity. Again, we see the same thing, physical and spiritual. Abstract and concrete. Listen, God is good, and he can provide for you whatever good thing you need whenever you need it. We could say it like this. There's plenty of God's goodness, and what he has in store is plenty good. You see, the kind of goodness that God has stored up for you too, even though it may manifest itself in a home, a physical home coming to you, or it may manifest itself in monies, you know, a new job, a career change, those kinds of things. But the goodness that God has stored up for you, it cannot be purchased. You cannot find it anywhere in the world. You could travel all over the world, but you will not find any kind of goodness in the world that the world cannot give you. What only God can give you. It's heavenly. It's out of this world, but he brings it into our world. He pours his goodness into our world, and all of a sudden, we are living the good life. Come on, we are enjoying good things. And I'm talking about good things of peace and joy. And also good things when it comes to material things. But we enjoy the things. The things don't have us. We get to enjoy them. But they don't control us. We're free to let them go. Can you think of something good you may need right now? Something good maybe for your family. Some good that God could do in the lives of your children. Something good at your workplace. Something good in you. Some good thing. Well, listen, whatever good you need, God's got that stored up and ready and waiting for you. Why? Because he's good. It's priceless. These kind of goods... We'll say that, put it that way, can't be purchased. They can only be received by faith. I want to take you a little bit further because I want to keep talking about the kind of good that God has stored up for us. But also I want to take you to a scripture that not only can we delve into the quality of good, but I'm going to show you something about the heart of God. You need to know God. You need to know his character. And so I want to take you to an Old Testament scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Now, just before we delve again into the good that God has planned for us, I want to define that for you. I want to take just a moment here and look at the character of God. I want you to hear what God said. He said, "I want you to know what I've already planned for you. You're no accident." God already planned to be good to you. God knows you. He's a personal God. God says, "I know the plans I have for you, and they are good." He's a good God, and he has good plans. But he was intentional. He didn't just leave this to chance, just hoping maybe someday something good might come your way. No, he is your God. He loves you. And so before you were ever born, he went into your future and he planned good things for you. So don't ever wonder if you're in the middle of something disappointing or bad. Don't ever wonder if God can't turn it around and do something good. He already planned on doing good. I like to use this example. Back in the 1980s, there was a big to-do over the Deep Blue computer from IBM had just came out, and it beat the reigning chess champion. And the reigning chess champion said, "Nobody, especially not a computer, is going to beat me." Well, Deep Blue beat the reigning chess champion. And they said one of the reasons why the computer beat the chess champion was because the computer had the ability to quickly figure all possible options. And then because he could figure all possible options, then he also had the counter moves to win the game. Well, can I tell you something? If a computer can do that, God can do that. Now listen, here's what God did for you. You're going to be glad to hear this. God went into your future. He saw all your crazy moves. And he countered them with something good. He saw when you missed him. And he countered it. Come on, he's covered every option. You say, but Pastor Jane, you don't understand what I've done. You don't understand what God has done. See, God knew you were going to make that move. He knew you're going to even jump off the chessboard. So he did something good. He stored up goodness for you. Now, what's this goodness that he has stored up for you? The word good there. I love this word good. Many of you are familiar with this word. It's the word shalom. This word good is translated in the Bible, good, prosperity, peace. Most often we know this word as peace, but several times it's translated good. And here in the New Living Translation, they translate it good. It's shalom, peace. Prosperity, health, security, tranquility, to be complete, to be made whole. Wow, that would be good. This might be a perfect time to say this. God is great. God is good. Come on, plenty good. He has peace for you. He has prosperity for you. He will make you whole. That means if you got yourself into a position where everything in life fell apart, he will put you back together. That's just how good he is. And can I remind you of this truth too? This goodness that God has for us came to us in a person. And that person was Jesus Christ. He is our peace. When Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, he is our peace. Jesus is our peace. I love the story in the Bible of he had told the disciples to go to the other side. I mean, these were skilled fishermen. These weren't novice guys just like me or maybe some of you being out on the water not knowing what they're doing. Years ago, my brother and I, you know, Pastor Larry, he does our children. And we bought a little boat because this was pre-Jeff. And so we lived down close to the Alify River in Riverview. And so we bought this little ski boat and we would go out on that thing all the time. You know, well, several people asked me not to drive while they were skiing. Because I wasn't so good at turning that boat around and I'd make these wide and they'd just about get up on the land. Well, I was a novice, so I had to learn how to drive the boat. Well, these fishermen, the disciples were not novice, but here, even obeying Jesus, Jesus said, y'all go on to the other side. They found themselves in a big storm. And it's amazing. There's actually two different stories, and I love both of them. One of them, Jesus is actually with them in the bottom of the boat, but the one I'm talking about is he actually, during the storm, he comes walking to them on the water, and they thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, no, it's me. And then one of the translations says, the minute he stepped into the boat, everything went calm. Come on, Jesus this morning is just waiting for you to invite him to step into that situation. To step into your marriage. To step into your finances. To step into your heart. To step into your Jesus' peace himself. He is God's goodness manifest to us. He's everything we need. Grace. He makes us complete. The Bible says we are complete in Christ. God's best gift. This word shalom is a very important word, though, too. I want to go back to it for just a moment. It was also a greeting. And you may have even heard people to this day, Jewish people, will, when they greet someone, they will say shalom. And really part of what they're saying is they're not only saying peace to you, speaking a blessing on you, be made whole, but often they're saying, how is your peace? It's also a question, is it well with you? Or we could say it this way, everything good? Everything good? And even in their greeting, if it's not good, they're speaking peace. Maybe some of you today just need to speak peace. Maybe you need to just ask somebody, everything good? And if it's not good, then tell him who it is that can make it good. And that he's got goodness stored up for them. I want you to hear this Jeremiah 29:11 one more time before we move on. Because I'm going to teach you how to pick the lock. I can't let you go before I teach you how to pick the lock, right? Jeremiah 29:11 out of the Message says this. I just want you to hear the heart of God. It says, I know what I'm doing. Can I just stop there? So many times God's had to say that to me. You with me? God's had to say, I know what I'm doing, Jane. Leave it alone. But sometimes leave him alone. Leave Jeff alone. I know what I'm doing. But I could help him, Lord. He's not here. I don't know where he went. So, hey, let's talk about him. No, I'm teasing. He'll be back. Now listen. Where was that? Jeremiah 29:11 of the Message Bible. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. I just want to tell you this morning, there's hope for you this morning. God, out of his goodness, will give you the future you hope for. But let's pick the lock. Go with me. I want to go back to Psalm 31:19. We're going to spend a little bit of time on this verse this morning. Usually when I send my scriptures, I have like 8, 10. Today I kept sending them Psalm 31:19 to put up here. I know what I'm, oh, no. Can you put up Psalm 31:19? That's still the Message Bible. There you go. How great is goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. Who is the goodness stored up for? How could we pick the lock? The Bible says it's very simple. If you want to pick the lock, then fear him, come to him. Come on, he's got all this goodness stored up. In fact, could you put up my other picture with the world and the lock there? Now look, it's locked. God's got all this goodness stored. He's got enough for the whole world. But you just got to know the combination. Fear him, come to him. Or could I say it this way? You need to fear God enough that you would come to him because you expect good from him. See, if you're not expecting good from him, then you really don't fear him. Now, let's talk with this. Number one, fear him. That's the first thing in coming to God. Number one, fear him. But let's look at that word fear. We know that there's different definitions. In fact, if you study this word out, it says, again, Spiros Zodiades, fear, that's a Hebrew word. It says two main types of fear described by this word. A, to be afraid, the emotion and intellectual anticipation of harm. But B, a very positive feeling of awe, a reverence for God. You see, when the Bible speaks of fearing God, it's not talking about being afraid of God. In fact, if you could just put up the second definition, I want to expand that definition for just a little bit. It says a very positive feeling of awe or reverence for God, which may be expressed in worship. To me, this definition gives me understanding as to why so many people are not receiving the goodness of God. And I'm going to make it very simple. It's not religious in any way. It's not great theological thing. It's that they don't have a positive feeling when they think about God. How many people you say God to them, they go, yes! Or, whoa. To fear God, if you really knew him, you would have a positive feeling of awe. You would be in awe of him. In fact, you'd be in so awe of him that you would want to worship him or you would reverence him. I'm talking about picking the lock. I'm talking about tapping into God's goodness. Fear him. That word reverence there. If we define that word reverence, it means to respect, to hold in high regard, to think highly of, to esteem, to cherish. wow, again, we begin to get some understanding on maybe why we've missed out on some of the goodness of God in our lives, things that he had stored up on us. Did we highly esteem God? Did we respect him? Did we respect his word? Do we hold him in high regard? You know, there are people that I hold in high regard. And if I need some wisdom, I go to them expecting that they're going to give me wisdom. And I so regard them and their character that I'll do what they say.
Yeah.
Are you doing what God says? Do you reverence him enough? Do you know him enough to trust that whatever he would tell you to do would be good for you? Trust in his love. Number one, fear him. If you want the goodness of God, we've got to grow in the fear of God. The more we fear God, the more goodness he pours out. You got to grow. We grow in the knowledge of the fear of God. We grow in the knowledge of his knowing him, being in awe of him, learning of him. I got a little balloon here. Ash, I'm going to need a drink of water if I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to blow up this balloon. I'm not going to blow it all up. No.
No.
Yeah, answer is no. Because I need to do something with it. I would like for you to blow it up for me, but I'm going to blow it up. Now, listen, because here's my thing. I'm going to tell you it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some of me to get to know him. Now, when I grow in the knowledge of God and the fear of God, then there's more space in my life for God to do good. He can pour in that much goodness. Now, but come on, you got to keep growing. And the more, come, and it gets a little harder sometimes. And yet it's harder and easier. But now look how much more goodness till you get to the place. Come on. Yeah. And then, you know what? It weights you down in life. You're flying high, but your feet are flat on the ground. I wish more Christians were like that. No, I'm just teasing. You know what I'm saying? Some crazy spiritual people, they're up here all the time. No, if you're really blessed by God, your feet will be firmly planted, but you're still flying high at the same time, right? But now look how much room, and you're happy. See, that's my, you're happy about it too. All this knowledge of God, and you're happy. But you're going to have to grow in the knowledge of God. And here's, let me just say this too. Let me give you this quote. It's one of my favorite. I know I've told it to you before. You'll probably hear it again. But it's from A.W. Tozier. What comes into mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us.
Yeah.
Second thing, if you want to pick the lock, come to him. Not only fear him, but come to him. James 4:8 says, come close to God and God will come close to you. How do you come to God? You come to him in devotion. You come to him in prayer. Here's my question. Who do you turn to for good? Or what things do you turn to when you want to feel good? Do you come to him? Or do you go to somebody else? Come on, come to him. Come to him. All the other things may give us a temporary feeling of good. We come to him with our words, our thoughts, our actions. You know, coming to church, you came to him. Just an action of coming to God. And God said, if you come to me. And you say, well, Pastor Jane, which is the first? Should I fear him and then come to him, or come to him so I can fear him? Well, really, I believe that you're going to have some knowledge of God to come to him. But here's the thing. The more you come to him, the more you'll fear to him, and the more you'll come to him, the more you come to him, the more you'll fear him, till you're stable and happy, and you're in the storage room. You've picked a lock. God's storehouse of goodness is open to you. Those who fear God come to him expecting good. And then what's number three? There's really just two steps this morning I wanted to give you about picking the lock. Fear him, come to him. But how many of you know after one, two comes three? And the third thing that happens is you experience his goodness. Fear him, come to him, experience his goodness. Let me just read you Psalm 31:19 for the last time as we close out today. How great is the goodness of God you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. Wow. It says that God wants to lavish you with goodness. He wants to pour it out on you, your marriage, your finances, your church, your family. He wants to pour it out on Faith Life Church as we move into our future. We just come to Him, fear Him, and then before the watching world, He will display His goodness. Wow. God is great. God is good. Come on. Plenty good. Did you get something out of that this morning? I pray that you did. Let's bow our heads as we close out the service today. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the opportunity that we've had today. Lord Jesus.